Hey founders, this is the SaaS Boss Show, the podcast for SaaS founders in the growth stage who want to get unstuck, build high-performing teams, and get clarity about how to build a profitable startup. Every week, I interview SaaS consultants, coaches, and experts who work with dozens of startups just like yours and share their best strategies to overcome the daily challenges of growing a profitable SaaS. My name is Natalie Luniva, and I'm a growth and leadership coach to SaaS founders, and I'm also married to a SaaS founder, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us on this conversation. Hi, everyone. Today, it is my pleasure to interview Lalita Carrico about marketing growth strategies for SaaS companies. Lalita is a startup brand and marketing strategist, and she's worked with dozens of SaaS companies on all stages. And today we're excited to talk about growth strategies. Lalita, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Natalie. Thanks for having me.
So how did you start working with tech and startup companies?
Well, actually, I've been sort of in the SaaS industry, I guess before it was even an acronym. I first started out in marketing in a very non-techie field to start. It was with the company that owns the House of Blues chain of concerts, concert venues and nightclubs. And that was back in the late 90s. And they ended up being the first company to stream a concert over the web live, which then took that software that they created that allowed them to stream the first concert over the internet and started licensing that software to other entertainment companies. So that's how I started. And from there, as the tech boom and internet boom started, I just had found this niche in working with what, again, would, you know, 10 years later become software as a service.
So you're one of the veterans.
Yeah.
So I like how you talk about there are two sides to marketing a SaaS, which is really like the stage pre-sale and then post-sale. And I like that majority of founders, when we talk about marketing, we talk about getting the lead, getting people to the demo, and then getting people to buy. And kind of that's the biggest chunk of marketing that majority of founders talk about. Yeah. And I like when marketers talk about, well, marketing is really like everything that a company does. First of all, is marketing. The way that you respond to your tickets, how fast you do that, all of that is marketing. So talk to us a little bit more about what we're going to talk about today.
Well, so yeah, I definitely feel that there's two sides to effective marketing for any business, but specifically SaaS businesses. And yeah, so much of the strategy and money and resources that most SaaS businesses put is towards the lead generation side of it and bringing in the leads, when really, my opinion is that should be 20% of it, and 80% of your effort and resources and budget should be in retention, which is also marketing. So there's definitely pre-sale strategies and retention strategies. The reason I usually focus more on the retention side with my clients is because, you know, I'm sure, you know, this is a pretty widely cited study, but Gartner released a study a few years ago that said, you know, for SaaS companies specifically, 80% of future revenue will come from only 20% of existing customers. So that in itself, you know, basically tells you that retention is important, because most of your revenue is going to come from your loyal folks, not the new folks that come in, you know, and turn over. So, you know, and so that's why I usually, when I develop these strategies for the companies I work with, I focus 80% of my energy on retention, because so many people think that, oh, once we've got them in the door using our service, then it's technical support, customer service. But that's, as you said, is marketing, and marketing and support have to work hand in hand, because again, if 80% of revenue comes from, you know, customers, it's marketing. The marketing doesn't stop with the sale.
Perfect. So let's start with pre-sale. Yep. What are some marketing and growth strategies that you recommend or you work with your clients to help attract customers there?
Sure. So of course there's, you know, the traditional tactics that most, you know, employ, like free trials, lead gen through, you know, Google AdWords, remarketing, engaging content strategies, trade shows when, you know, we can go back to doing them, and, you know, typical sales funnels and email drip campaigns. So sure, I work with clients on messaging and making sure, you know, that's all on track. But also something that I find important, and again, this does play into the post-sale retention also, is working with like-minded software partners to integrate with. So I think, you know, a lot of SaaS companies definitely understand the importance of integration and being able to integrate with other solutions that their clients may have. But that, again, is a marketing opportunity. So I usually work very closely with business development teams, for example, to identify key potential integration partners. And then once the business development side of it is done and they've kind of secured the deal and IT has figured out how they're going to integrate together, then I work with that company on marketing solutions. So, like, for example, a few years before I went back into consulting, I went in-house as a senior vice president of marketing for a payments platform. And they specialized in a variety of industries, but one of their key industries was property management. So they were a payment rail for property management companies. So most of those businesses, there are all these solutions that property managers use, software to manage their apartments, who's coming in, who's leaving, you know, have they been cleaned, what are the utilities like, etc. And of course, another one is, has the rent been paid? So the portion that the company I worked with was the payment rail, for example. So while some companies will have a full solution with payments, apartment management, and all the bells and whistles, a lot of times people are piecemealing their different solutions. So with that company, for example, what we did was we made sure we integrated with all the top property management systems so that we could add the payments component. So in addition to managing everything you need for your property, this is how you can also manage your payments. And that in itself is a great lead source, because now after the technology side of it is done and the APIs or whatever, you know, are connecting together and working together, you know, we set up webinars with that property management system's client base to show how we integrate, you know, again, in this example, it's a payments platform, so how we integrate so that rent payments are all recorded, you know, in your tenant's profile, along with any maintenance requests or whatever else they might have. So, you know, if they have to pay for a new key or they lost their garage remote, you know, you can integrate the payments and really use that as a lead funnel for you within that partner. But then also, you know, it becomes a great pre-sale strategy, because you can partner with this other, maybe bigger company that has a larger client base in your target, in one of your target markets, and also is a selling point for your business as well, because you have these integrations.
Is there anything else that we want to mention in the pre-sale part of this conversation, or are we ready to switch to post-sale?
I think the only other thing is, you know, try to be creative. So of course, AdWords and keyword search strategies are essential to bringing in leads. But a few years ago, you know, especially in the software as a service realm, people are always looking for competitors, right? Like competitor, HubSpot competitor, or, you know, actually I just had a not great experience with a streaming provider who I won't name. But so last night I'm like up looking for streaming competitors to this company that I didn't have a great experience with. So a few years ago, I can't remember who it was, but someone did a keyword strategy campaign, literally targeting people who were searching for alternatives. So let's say, you know, it was like XYZ company alternative, because they were either mad or upset. So they came up with a creative website landing page strategy that literally was like, oh, you want to leave us? You know, and then it became a retention strategy as well.
I love it. That's a great example. So let's switch talking to about the post-sale and retention. Mm-hmm. Where do you start looking at current setup and trying to identify the problems, kind of the low-hanging fruits?
Yeah. So you mean, as you mentioned, you know, support and, you know, awesome product, awesome support are number one with retention for sure. But marketing should be closely tied with those teams. So making sure that, yes, customers are addressed on time, their issues are resolved quickly, bugs are fixed on the tech side, etc. And then really identifying what are the pain points, what are people having problems with, and quickly working to come up with strategies to address them. So let's say it's a part of your service that, you know, a customer doesn't understand, and that's where you're seeing the most customer service calls. Have marketing create a video campaign, you know, that educates the customers, because if you're getting a lot of calls, even, you know, if it's 10% of your client base calling on a certain issue, you know, there might be another 10, 20% that aren't calling and either are just not dealing with the issue. Create a campaign to address commonly asked questions or common concerns and share it on social media through email campaigns. So like the email drip campaigns don't stop with the sale also. They actually should continue after the sale, but more from a customer service perspective, providing, you know, feedback from clients, other customers, tips from other customers, tips from the team, educational resources, and then product highlights.
Actually, just recently we implemented something for my husband's SaaS where we started doing weekly Q&A calls for mm-hmm. all of our existing clients. And this is such a great asset that we can use in so many different ways. We're recording those calls. First of all, we're getting those questions. Now you kind of get a better idea of what questions your customers have. You get a chance to talk to your people and customers and ask them questions as well. You kind of help improve customer success rate so that when they ask you questions and then you help solve those problems and they just don't just sit quietly and, you know, complain about your tool.
Exactly.
You create, basically there are so many benefits there. And then when we work on this recording, we create a short clips that we can place to multiple places like Facebook groups or even in our help docs, for example. So I would say that try that and see how many customers are going to say, oh, good, I'm going to be on this call and then run this call and then try to do it on a weekly basis. And hopefully number of requests is actually going to drop because people are going to wait until this weekly call to ask those questions.
It worked exactly right. And it works to benefit in so many areas. And you're getting content direct from your customers that you can use on social media. Definitely. And what I love about that is, especially depending on who's leading it, like depending on how big your company is, it could be the CEO or founder, could be someone else. You're also giving your customers a personal, you know, relationship with someone on the team. So it's not just this nebulous company that doesn't have a face aside from the software. They're getting to know more people than their salesperson. They're getting to see, you know, if you do them via video chat or whatnot, but, you know, you're creating connections that also, you know, are valuable.
And once you create those connections, it's going to be much easier for you down the road to go to those clients and say, hey, you had great success with our tool. I would love to create a case study, because then you can use this case study in so many ways, call outreach, email campaigns. I mean, on almost every step of your SaaS, promoting the SaaS, you can use the case study. And so instead of coming with the, you know, kind of hand and asking them for something, you already build a relationship. And so it's much easier for you to make this request and for them to agree on that.
Yeah, exactly. And that also, you know, that goes into another thing that I was going to talk about, is like implementing feedback from your clients and highlighting it. So, you know, if Mary, one of your customers, has this pain point or this concern, and you implement their feedback to make your tool better, and then you highlight it. So in these weekly calls, or if, you know, you're doing monthly webinars or whatever it is, you highlight, say, you know, this client of ours had this concern. We made these product improvements because of it. So again, it shows that that's customer service, but it's also, you know, marketing and showing that you are taking the feedback and improving your product as a result of your customers.
I love it. I love it that you took it a step further. I did not think about this, but it's a very easy thing to implement. And you're right, so many benefits there.
Also, like the Q&As that are specific to your product, depending on time, because of course time is a resource and all companies are busy and spread thin. But something that I also suggest, maybe depending on bandwidth, you know, monthly, quarterly, or even, you know, twice a year basis, hold educational webinars, again, online through, you know, GoToMeeting or Zoom or whatever it is, where it touches on your industry, but isn't just a sell about your product or Q&A about your product. Because, you know, most SaaS companies cater to certain industry sectors. So create an educational opportunity to bring news about your or their industry to them. So of course, you know, it may not touch on your product, but you know, if there's a huge development in the industry that people are talking about, you know, maybe partner with an expert and create a webinar. So again, just adding value to these companies, because ultimately they are trying to make money or, you know, grow their businesses. And if you can help them, you know, with important resources and information, they are they're that more, you know, they have much more affinity to your brand.
All right. Any other interesting topics or interesting tips that we can use to improve our post-sale and retention?
Well, I think the only other thing is similar to what we were talking about, like when you do the Q&As or whatever or whatnot, your customers are getting an insight into the people behind the brand. And I think brand personality, especially in this day and age, in the software, you know, industry, in any industry, there's so much competition. So if you, and software, again, can seem so boring and flat and whatnot, if you can inject a brand personality into the mix, and that's sort of a common thread, you know, that always helps people keep you top of mind and, you know, are excited to potentially share information that you have online. You know, one of the marketing principles that most people follow is like what Simon Sinek like famously said, you know, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. So if you can like articulate that why you do it and create a personality behind it and always thread that through your communications, increase brand awareness and loyalty.
Is there a book that was most impactful for you?
It's a fairly older book right now, but The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell has always been like a marketing Bible, but that really did make a big impact on me. And then Simon Sinek, who I already quoted, like his book on, you know, why companies exist is really a great guide to marketing your business.
Where can listeners know about you and connect with you?
So I, on my website, loco.com, you can connect with me there. I have an ongoing video series more tailored to entrepreneurs and tips and strategies there, but that's where they can reach me, and at Lolita Carrico, basically anywhere on social media.
Any last parting words?
That's it. I hope everyone's staying safe and healthy, and thank you so much, Natalie, for having me today.
Thank you, Lolita. It was a pleasure. And that's it for this episode. For those tech founders who have a remote team, I have a question. Do you find yourself that it's much faster for you to do things by yourself than waste all of that mental energy delegating tasks to someone, and so you either don't hire anyone, or if you already have a remote team, you're guilty of doing those tasks by yourself because there's just so much energy goes into delegating the tasks and then just managing people? Are you able to take a few days off and not be worried that your servers will go down or your support is going to blow up? What if you could work on more strategic, important things and let your team fix the bugs? If you only started building your team in the last couple of years, I guarantee that you are making lots of mistakes that hinder your growth without even realizing that. Oftentimes, you, the founder, may end up being the bottleneck to your team's success. That is definitely hard to swallow, but it's true. But also look on the bright side, this is also the easiest problem for you to fix because you are in control of how to fix it. I'll be launching soon a program that will help tech founders improve your team performance and as a result, remove the roadblocks to scaling your SaaS just by improving your operations and team dynamic. This is really the shortcut. To be notified when it's live, go to my website, natalieluneva.com/team. natalieluneva.com/team.